So I came across an interesting article this week that talks about some words that we use on a pretty regular basis, but their meaning has changed over time from what the meaning of the word actually was. Let me share with you some examples, kind of make this make sense. The word ironic was one of these words. The original meaning was not something funny that happened to you. You ever use the word ironic in a humorous kind of sense? The original meaning was something that happened that was opposite of what you would expect, because it's ironic. Another one that I found really interesting was the word instant. The original meaning did not mean something that happened quickly or with lightning speed. It was actually something that happened at a specific point in time, in an instant. I thought that one was really interesting. Another one was the word enormity. It's not a word I use a lot, but I've obviously been using it the wrong way because I thought it meant something enormous, something that was huge, of enormity. But the original meaning meant a profoundly evil or immoral act. Yeah, I may have used that one out of context a few times. Another one was the word ultimate. I like this word. I thought it always meant the pinnacle or the best. You know what I mean? It's the ultimate. But actually, it's the final entry in a list of items. And that makes the honey-do list not so ultimate anymore, you know what I mean? So, two more that I want to share with you. The word terrific does not actually mean awesome or really, really cool. It's a word that means inspiring fear. Like if you've been to Disney World and you rode the Haunted Mansion, it was terrific in that it was scary and it inspired fear. Last one, and this one's kind of a pet peeve for me. It's why I saved it last. It's the word literally. Did you know that it does not mean to indicate strong emphasis or as a way to comment on something that didn't really happen but occurred figuratively? Like you ever talk to somebody that's gone fishing and they're like, man, I literally caught like a 7,000-pound fish. And you're like, oh, literally, 7,000-pound fish, right? You ever had somebody use that word literally and really they should have said figuratively? Because the word literally actually means something that happened in reality. Sorry, that's just a pet peeve of mine. But it got me thinking about words that we use on a regular basis whose meanings have changed, not necessarily for the worse in every instance, but a lot of words, their meaning has changed over time. What if I told you that there's a word that we use on a weekly basis whose meaning has actually changed over time from its original intended meaning? And what if I told you that the word church does not necessarily mean today what it meant in the time of Jesus. That it's a word that's actually changed meaning over time and could possibly, in some instances, have some negative consequences. Let me give you an example. So when you hear or read the word church, what's the mental image that pops into your head? Go ahead and put it in your mind. Everybody's got an image there. What is it? I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand. I just want you to raise your hand in your mind, figuratively, not literally, okay? Figuratively, was it one of these couple of things? When you hear the word church, is the image that pops into your head a building? Or maybe a room like this, an auditorium? Or is it a sign out by the road? Or is it a group of people? And if you thought the word building when you heard the word church, it's really not your fault. Okay, and I'm going to explain why that word has changed a little bit over time. But do you remember when you were a little kid? And I got to thinking about this week. Is that, do you remember the little saying, here's the church, can you finish it? And here's the steeple, open the doors, and there's all the people. All right, you remember that? How many of you said that or had someone tell you that when you were a little kid? What's it teaching you? What is the church? It's the building. Well, let's get into that a little bit because Jesus had a different idea in mind when he used the word church in the passage that Dustin read for us. I want to read it. I want to give us the full context this morning as we read through Matthew 16. We're going to start in verse 13. So Jesus comes into the district of Caesarea Philippi, and he asked his disciples, who do people say that the Son of Man is? And they said, some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and others Jeremiah or one of the prophets. And he said to them, but who do you say that I am? And Simon Peter replied, you're the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered him, blessed are you, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church. There's our word. And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I'll give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. He says, I'm going to build my church. That's our word that we're looking at today. What does the word church mean? What did Jesus intend when he used that phrase, I will build my church? Did he mean a building or a sign or a particular location, or did he have something else in mind? Well, what's interesting about this word is when you read it in the original language, the word that was originally used, this is the only instance in the Bible where it's actually translated the word church. In many other instances, it's translated by a word, we might say a gathering or an assembly or a group of people. I'll give you an example. So in Acts chapter 19, Paul is in Ephesus and he's talking to this group or this assembly of idol makers. And as he's talking to them, that's exactly the way that they are referred to, as an ecclesia, a group, an assembly, a congregation, if you will, of idol makers. And his intention was not it was a location or it was a building where these idol makers came together, but that's what they were as a group of people. So when Jesus uses this term in Matthew 16, and he says, you are Peter, and on this rock, on this confession that I am the Christ, I'm going to build my ecclesia. I'm going to build my group, my gathering of people who have been called out, who have been chosen for a specific purpose. His intention was for us to picture not a building, but a group or an assembly of people who've been called out to live for him. So, let's kind of talk about what that group is. What is the church? Two things I want to share with you this morning. The first one is this. The church is an organism and not an institution. I'll explain what I mean by that word organism by reading a passage to you in Ephesians chapter 4. And I want you to really pay attention to the words that Paul uses here, because there's a lot of verbs and there's a lot of descriptive terms in describing, as Paul is writing to the church at Ephesus, the specific way that he refers to them and what their goals are as a group of people who've been called out to live for Christ. Let's read Ephesians 4, starting in verse 11. And he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds and teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for the building up of the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, so that we may no longer be children tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness and deceitful schemes. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into Him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. Do you see that he's talking about a group of people and he's relating it to a person? He's relating it to like a child that is a toddler and is growing up. And just as that child grows, their body changes, their face becomes fuller, they begin to look more like an adult, right? And then they hit those teenage years where they're like an adult in a child's, a child in an adult's body, right? And they're trying to learn what life is all about. And then they enter adulthood and they begin to learn what maturity is all about and being responsible and making decisions that are good and that are the best for their future. And Paul describes the church just like he's describing this child that's growing up. It's an organism. It's something that's living and it's breathing and it's moving and it's growing. It's never staying the same. Look at what the goals are that he gives out for the church. It's to equip more people to do the work of ministry, to be unified in the faith and the knowledge of Jesus, to mature, to grow up to look more like Jesus, and for everybody to do their part so that we may grow into love. And just like each child grows up and a lot of us have physical features that look just like maybe our parents or a grandparent or an aunt and an uncle, right? We all resemble somebody. We're all, according to Paul, trying to grow up to look just like Jesus. Isn't that cool to think about? But he's not just talking about us individually. He's talking about us as a collective group. Because as Paul describes in 1 Corinthians 12, we're a body. That's exactly what he says in verse 27 of 1 Corinthians chapter 12. You are the body of Christ and members individually. And in that chapter, he describes each person has a different role or different function, just like the members of your body do. Your hand does things that your feet can't do. You want to try that out? Try picking stuff up with your feet. You may do okay, but you're going to miss those opposable thumbs at some point, right? Your body has different functions. And if you miss any part of your body, even if it's that appendix that you wondered, why in the world do I need this other than for it to rupture and cause me to have it taken out, or random body parts, even like your pinky toe, you think you don't need it, just try losing it, right? And you'll miss it. Each body part has a specific function. And Paul says that's what the church is like, that all of us come together with different gifts, different abilities, different jobs to do. And we bring it all together. And some of us are the arms, some of us are the legs, some of us are the eyes, the mouth, the ears, right? We all have a different job to do. But when we come together, we form one body. And you pair that together with what he said in Ephesians 4, we start out as a young church many, many, many years ago, right? And this church has grown, and it's changed, and it's matured. And the new people come in, and the church is constantly changing and growing. Right? And Paul describes it as a body. Just think about what your body does. It moves. Your body gets stronger. In some instances, your body gets weaker. Sometimes your body is healthy, and sometimes your body is sick. But it's rarely ever the same. It's an organism. It's constantly changing and growing and moving. And so the church is an organism. And so when we talk about growing, we're not necessarily talking about building a bigger facility. We're talking about growing in spiritual maturity, growing in deeper faith and trust in Christ, growing in our ability to serve and to minister to each other and to the community around us, and growing by others being added to the body of Christ, trying to grow up to look like Jesus. So how do we look? If we're trying to look like Jesus as a church, how do we look? And I think the only way we can answer that is to ask ourselves, well, how do I look? Am I doing my part to look like Christ? Here's the second thing. The church is something we are a part of, not just something we attend. Now, how many of you today, and I had this lesson in my mind this morning, knowing exactly what I was going to say, and I still did it. How many of you today woke up thinking or saying, hey, today we're going to church, or you better hurry up and get ready, or we're going to be late for church, right? Anybody, any guilty parties? I did it, and I knew that I was going to teach this lesson to you, because it's a habit that I've done ever since I was a little kid and said, here's the church, here's the steeple, open the doors, and there's all the people, right? And what are we doing? We're planting a thought in our mind that church is an event. Because how many times have you woke up saying, today we're going to the game? The game is an event, right? Or we're going to watch or participate in the game, or we're going to go to the concert. It's an event. It's something that we go to. It's something that we do. It's not necessarily something that we are a part of. Let me make it make sense like this. What is family? Have you ever made the statement, well, when I get off of work, I'm going to go to family? That's weird, ain't it? That's kind of a weird thought. Or, man, I got to hurry up because I'm going to be late for family. No, because family is not an event. It's not something that you do. Now, you may plan events as a family, and you might call it family time, right? It's become an event. Maybe it might make sense like this. Did you grow up being a part of some type of team, right? You were on the team. You were a part of that team, but that team had different events and responsibilities that it was involved in. And so you might say, today I have practice, or today we have a game, but you rarely or if ever said, today I have team, right? Because you don't go to something that you're a part of. You go to something that what you're a part of goes to. Right? And so the team participates in the event, in the game, in the practice, but you're a part of, you're invested in, you're bonded with the team. So what if we treated church that way? What if church became more than a weekly event? What if it became who we were, who we are? What if it became our identity? That it's not something that we wake up and say we're going to, but rather it's something that we wake up and say we are. It's something that we're a part of. Why are more and more people getting tired of going to church? If you don't believe that, you need to just Google it. You'll read article after article of less and less people who are going to church on a weekly basis across America. Some of the stats are pretty scary. The number of people that are walking away from church. I'd like to say that the stat that I'm about to throw at you does not apply to Creekwood. But if you look at the pictures that are out there in the foyer of all our graduating seniors, statistically speaking, 3 years from now, over half of those people will no longer faithfully be a part of church family. That's scary. That's your sons and daughters. That's your grandsons and granddaughters, nieces and nephews, friends, children you watched from the time they were this tall to some of them being really tall, right? You've watched them grow up. How many are you willing to let go of? None. How many people do you know that you grew up with in your own church family, in your own church home, that are no longer faithful to the Lord? Too many that I won't count. Why? What happened? Why did people get tired of going to church? Because we all get tired of doing stuff, right? Have you ever gotten tired of just going and going and going and doing and doing and doing? How many of you just wanted to sit in your recliner all weekend long and just watch Netflix for the whole day, right? Not do anything else, right? That's all you wanted to do was just be home, right? Because we rarely, if ever, get tired of going home. Because home is something we're a part of. If church, if this group of people is home, you'll never get tired of it. Ever. Sure, there's family members we'd love to avoid if that was all possible, right? Those awkward family reunions. Hey, you endure it. Why? Because it's family. And it's you. It's your identity. It's where you were raised. It's where you grew up. It's the people that taught you right from wrong and how to make wise choices and how to be a husband or a father or a wife or a mother, right? So is this. This is home. This is family. Because church is not a building. It's a group of people. It's family that we're called to be a part of. So I want you to do something for me. If we go ahead and put up the next slide, I want you to read it with me, okay? Four words, right? Will you do that? Will you read it with me? Because for all the times we have said we're going to church and we planted those seeds in our mind that church is an event, it's something that we do, and we can quickly get tired of doing things, what if we just told ourselves something different? If instead of it's something we do, it's something that we are. I rarely get tired of something that I am because it's me, right? Unless I just get tired of me. I like me, right? I've worked a long time on making me better, right? And on God making me better. So what if church was, instead of something we did, became something that we are? So will you read it with me? Let's go. One, two, three. We are the church. Let's do it again. We are the church. You see, we got to start planting that new seed in our mind that this is not something that we do. It's just something we are. It's not a place that we go. It's family. It's a group of people that we love. So this is the group of people that Jesus died for. He died for the church, for us. Not for a building, not for a bunch of programs, but for a group of people. Now, this building is an awesome facility. We are a blessed congregation to be able to have such a wonderful place to meet together. Right? But let's remember what this place is. It's walls, windows, endures. It's not members of the body of Christ. It is the place where God's people meet together. But it's not the church. I'm looking at the church. So when we invite people to church, we're not inviting them to experience our walls, windows, and doors. We're inviting them to experience the love of God, to experience the body of Christ, to experience a group of people and to take on a new identity, to be brought into a new family, not as an extra thing to add to your calendar, because none of us need extra things added to our calendar, right? We're all busy enough. But we're all looking for a place to belong and a place to connect and a place where we feel important and that we got a job to do, right? And so that's what this group of people is. That's what we are as the church. We're a group of people where we're inviting others in to experience the love of Jesus by experiencing the love of this body of Christ. That they'll see Jesus when they see us because we're the hands, the feet, the eyes, the mouth. We're the ones that are showing them who Jesus is. And we're not even inviting them to experience an event as much as we are inviting them to experience something that we as a family do. Our traditions. Your family has traditions. You ever invited somebody over and they got to experience your traditions? That's what this is. Sure, worship is an event of the church. It's something that we get to do, but it's something that we do together as we lift up and praise our Father in heaven and His Son who died for us and gave His life and now sits at His right hand. It's something that we do as a family. It's a family event. And so we're inviting people to experience what life is like in the kingdom of God and to experience His love through us. We are the church. And so when you become a Christian, you are added to the church, to the body of Christ. That's what Peter said in Acts chapter 2 and verse 47. And you also become a member of the body of Christ. Just like Lindsay did on Wednesday night when she gave her life to Christ in this body of water right behind me, she was added to the saved group of people that Jesus said He was going to build in Matthew chapter 16. And now she's part of this body and now has a job to do as she brings her gifts, talents, and abilities and she begins to learn how to work and minister and serve in this place. And that's the same responsibility that every one of us has because we're a member of the body. Sure, it may take some time to discover what's my place, what's my gift, what does God want me to do, where can I serve, how can I serve, how can I minister. But don't forget what Paul said in Ephesians 4. The purpose of all of it is to equip the saints for the work of ministry so that we can mature and grow and look more and more like Christ. Because we're family. And just like your family gets together, everybody brings a little, right? When we have a fellowship meal, whether it's tomorrow night for Monday night for the Master or in 2 weeks for our Silver Saints, and we ask everybody to bring a little something, we're all bringing something to the table. Because we're family. That's what families do, right? They pitch in. They share. They help out. So, let's become a we. W-E, a we. Not the church, but we. Because we are the church. And I hope our goal is to become a stronger, more united family as we continue to mature in our faith individually, but in our faith as a whole. So that we can look more and more like Jesus. And we can all pitch in and serve and work and use the abilities God has given us. Because we are the church. It's not a place to go. It's not something we do on Sundays and Wednesdays. It's not a building. It's not an event. The church is a living, growing body of believers who are trying to look more and more like Christ. It's the saved family of God that we are a part of. So I got a little challenge for you. Actually, I got three challenges depending on where you are in your walk with Christ. Number one, you can pick one or you can do all three. It might apply in all three. One might apply, two might apply. I have no idea. But I got three challenges that I believe every one of us can take no matter where we are in our faith journey. Number one, challenge yourself to quit using the phrase going to church. And I failed this morning. And I knew my challenge. I already failed it, right? Failed it a few times. But that's my challenge to myself. Quit saying going to church. Because this isn't an event. I might say something like, we're going to go to worship. Or we're going to go to Bible class. Or we're going to go meet with God's people to gather together. Because I don't want this to be an event. My family's not an event. They're not my calendar. They're part of me. So are you. Let's not make this an item on our calendar. Let's make this something that we do as a family. So let's not use the phrase going to church. And that's going to be a hard habit to break as we've been doing it since we could talk, right? Second challenge. Become a part of this community of believers, this saved family that meets here at this place. And you can do that if you've never given your life to Christ by being baptized into Him. You're added to this body of believers. It's a beautiful thing to witness. Third, maybe you've done that. I challenge you to find a place to serve, or as Paul says, to do ministry, the work of ministry. Find a place, find an area where you can work and get involved. And you can use the gifts and the abilities that God has given you. You can find your function in the body of Christ. And that's all of us, no matter the age. If you're a member of this body, you have a job to do. And we all need to do it. Because we're family. Families work together. They pitch in. They help out on all the chores, right? We all have a job to do. And so as we do those jobs, this body will continue to grow. We'll grow in our maturity. We'll grow in our knowledge of Christ. We'll grow in our number. We will grow and look more and more and more like Jesus. And sure, there'll be times we get a little weaker and sometimes where we're a little more healthy and times where we're stronger, but we're a body. And our bodies never stay the same. They're constantly changing. And so does this church family. So this morning, I challenge you to take one of those challenges. Don't use the phrase, go to church. Become a member of this body by giving your life to Christ in baptism or find a place to serve this morning. If we can help you in any way, if you want to make that commitment to Christ, or if you need the prayers of this church, you need the prayers and the strength of your family here through some difficult situations that are going on in your life, we'd love to help you, wrap our arms around you, and be that family that you need. If we can help you in any way, won't you come as we stand and sing?